So this message is for me as well as it is for everybody else. We spend time, we pray, we read the Bible, we spend time in His Word. We actually have to choose to engage spending time with God. Because God is available to each one of us every second of the day or night, all the time. Because God makes us a priority out of His love for us and not out of obligation. We might make God a priority out of obligation, but God really actually loves all of us. And like I said, this is about myself as well. Now, the second love is to love ourselves. Now, this self-love is not narcissistic, it's not prideful, and it's not painful. We all know where to take better care of our health, right? We're supposed to take care of ourselves physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, in relationship. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So with the Spirit's leading, we should be able to, pay attention to our health and take care of it. So we're all on the same page, right? God is first, we're second. We've got that. Okay, well, Jesus has a way of taking our normal, usual, rational way of thinking and turning it upside down. As we heard from last week's sermon on the plain, we have the blessings and the woes. Jesus challenged us to reassess how we think, why we do things, how we do things, kind of shaking it up a little bit. So in case we forgot the second commandment, to love others as we love ourselves, Jesus is reminding us that today in today's gospel reading and challenging us. But he goes a step further. It's not just to love our neighbor, it's to love everyone. That's the hard part. Because we don't like everyone. And this love is active and it's intentional. Because Jesus said we are to love, do good, bless, pray, and give to our enemies. Do we give freely without strings attached only to our friends? If we do that, right? But maybe to just our friends or family. Do we give sacrificially? Or do we give that unselfish gift so nobody else sees it? Or are we doing that for the audience who's watching? We have to think about that. Now, it's usually easy, to love our family, to love close friends, to love our church family. It's a little bit more difficult to love people that we really like, but we can. We can love our coworkers, we can love our friends, we can love acquaintances that we see frequently. So we can step out a little bit into that. But how do you love people that you just don't like? How do you love people that hurt you or hurt a loved one? How do you love people you don't even know? And I'm going to tell you that it's hard, and there are people that I do not like, and I really don't want to love them. Like I said, this is for me just as well as anybody else. Yesterday I was at the deacon's retreat, and every deacon I spoke to was preaching today. I know it's not Trinity Sunday, but I'm thinking there might be a thread here that the deacons are preaching on this today. So there are people in my life that rub me the wrong way. Father Cesar Olivero calls these sandpaper people because they rub you the wrong way. And that's for whether it's a valid reason or an imaginary reason. It doesn't really matter. They irritate you, and we just don't like them. So we're going to take it a step further. So instead of being annoyed, or worse yet, talking about them to anybody who will listen to you, because of course, we're right, we should stop and pray for them and pray for the situation. Because I will tell you, when you actually stop and pray for someone, it's really hard to be annoyed with them. And thanks be to God for that. You kind of have to change your perspective when you're praying for someone. Sandpaper is abrasive. Its purpose is to smooth out the rough edges, right? Smooth everything out. So if we let God work through these sandpaper people on us, we might eventually smooth out those rough patches. And it's very possible that they might actually bring a special beauty out from us that we didn't even know was there, that only these sandpaper people, with their abrasiveness, can do. And I think that maybe the sandpaper people can make us better Christians, because not only are we going to love people that we authentically love, we can love people we actually choose to love. In the first reading, we heard about Joseph, right? He's sold into slavery by his brothers. Obviously, they were sandpaper people. They didn't want him around. But Joseph, he forgave them. Now, that story is thousands of years old. I have a story I want to share with you that is last week old. I went to the prison, and I was talking with one of the ladies. Her name is Sonia. And we were into little groups, and we were doing questions. Question number 5. Has there been a time when it has been difficult to show Christ's love to another person? So we're answering the questions. I'm thinking it's fine because I'm perfectly okay with sharing Christ's love with everybody. Everybody likes me. I'm good. Sonia breaks into tears because one of her dorm mates, who had been a friend of hers, was now really being mean to her, and she didn't understand why this was happening. But before that happened, Sonia had made a deal with this other woman. They were going to switch boots. Now, boots may not be a big deal to you, but you know, we had the cloak and the tunic, right, from the gospel reading. So this is the modern day equivalent. Sonia had new boots, and she's going to be released to a work release program soon, and she's not going to need her new boots. The other woman, who wears the same size, has old boots. So Sonia was going to give her boots to the other woman. Well, now this other woman is really mean and nasty. And of course, my first thing is, well, don't give her the boots. She's mean to you. I wouldn't give her the boots. I would take them myself. Of course, that's where, you know, Jesus comes in. And Sonia is crying. And she says, no, I'm going to give her the boots anyway, because I made a promise, and it's the right thing to do. And because that's what Jesus would do, Jesus would still give her the boots. So Sonia, who is our modern day Joseph, is going to give her her new boots in exchange for the woman's old boots. And that, my friends, is grace. That is God's grace right there. We don't deserve it, and we can't earn it, and Sonia doesn't have to give it, but because Jesus loves her, she is going to give those boots. So amen to that. Now, this is going to be a really wild off the page thought, but what if we are the sandpaper people? Now, I know you can't imagine that we would be sandpaper people to anybody else, because I know that I am not annoying or irritating to anybody. So it's possible, right? Maybe in a galaxy far, far away that we're annoying. But if we're sandpaper people to someone else, don't we want a chance to have a relationship also? I mean, we don't want to be written off, just, you know, swept over here to the side. So we should offer the same grace that God offers to us every day, right? God gives us grace every single day. How can we do less? And we heard it today. It's called the Golden Rule. And Jesus said, as you wish that others would do to you, so do to them. Now, that doesn't roll off the tongue very well, so I had to go back to the verse I grew up with. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The Golden Rule. Because that's the secret. God loves all of us equally. Hard to believe, but it's true. He really loves all of us here and out there the same. And by his grace and mercy, we receive this love. And in turn, we're sharing and offering it to other people, friends or enemies. Because the only difference between a friend and an enemy could be Jesus. Giving Jesus to someone else, giving them the opportunity to choose Jesus, might be the best gift we could give anyone. And that is something that we're called to do. To paraphrase what Jesus said, we are to be merciful to others as our Heavenly Father is merciful to us. Because we offend God daily, he still offers us his grace. And like I said, how can we do any less to anyone? And again, this is still speaking to me. because I don't always want to offer that grace to someone else. But I will tell you, when I do, and I actually stop and pray for the person that I really do not want to love, it reminds me that God loves them also. And it takes me away from my selfishness, and I actually can do that. Because we can open a door to a better relationship. And that's a wonderful thing. So whether we choose to like them, or we don't want to like them, or we don't agree with their politics, or their opinions, or their lifestyle, or the way they comb their hair, anything real or petty, we can choose to love them because God loves them. And this love is from God's perspective. It's not ours. We don't understand it. We don't have to. All we have to know is that it's real, and God does it. God loves the person who cuts you off in traffic. God loves the person who hurt you or your loved one. God loves the person who annoyed you so much you could have run them over with your car but chose not to. He loves the person who fired you. He loves the person who lied about you or spread rumors about you. He loves them also. God's gift of love and mercy and salvation is to every good and every evil person in the world. He loves the entire human race the same way he loves us. You, me, all of us. And Jesus died for every good person and every evil person in the world. And everyone is welcome to this table because it's the Lord's table. There is a great song out there now. It's titled Reckless Love. It's by Corey Asbury. And the chorus is as follows. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. This overwhelming love of God is for you and for me and for everyone. Because we're all made in God's image. Remember, we're all made in His image. But it's only through God's mercy and grace that we evolve to become more Christ-like. And in turn, we are able to share that gift of salvation and Jesus' love to our friends as well as our enemies. Because it gives everyone a chance to choose whether they want to become true sons and daughters of God. And I think that's a blessing and an honor that we are given, that we can share that. So I was thinking in heaven, when we're at the Father's table, now I will be sitting with the cool kids, but that's okay. We won't be sitting with just our friends. We're going to be sitting with our brothers and sisters in Christ, whom we love and who love us, with God's never-ending love. Amen.